Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you want to support the show, visit us at patreon.com, and for as little as $1 a month, you can become a patron. Or you can buy cool Lorehammer products like shirts, coffee mugs, and dice bags at www.redbubble.com. Don't want to spend any money? Well, you can help out the show by giving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also hop on over to Facebook and like our page, and feel free to send us a message. It's the only enjoyment Mark gets out of his miserable life.
Hello and welcome to Lorehammer. My name is Eric.
Trevor Buzak.
This is Jordan coming from Mark's basement.
Oh yes, we're all in different locations, you know, just for legal reasons.
No, I was allowed to leave Mark's basement. Oh. He untied me.
The chain is quite short, though.
So I could get some light.
A little vitamin D.
Yeah. Apparently there's some kind of virus going around.
You've been in meditation this whole time.
You don't need to know about that, my sweet summer child.
Oh, I'm sorry, Daddy.
Oh, no. Don't like that.
I swear, that's like the third time somebody's called me that, like, in the last, like, day. Ian was calling me that. Yeah.
Anyone other than your wife is not good.
Oh, I know. I know. It's bad.
Even
it's
if
bad.
Your wife is calling you that, you know.
Hey, I don't judge what happens between two consenting adults.
Even if I had a child and the child would be calling me that, not good. Still not good.
No, call me Mark.
Let's not get too personal here. Yeah.
Don't pretend that you know me.
And we also got a
Christian.
A dear friend.
For the last time.
Back from the dead.
For the last time. Right?
We'll see. We'll see about that. We'll see if it sticks this time.
Yeah. We keep trying. It doesn't take. It doesn't take. Yeah. We always get them back. But this is the last of the Lorehammer lockdown episodes.
Yeah, it's been an adventure.
That's one thing to call it.
It's been a wild ride.
Yeah, we've had plenty of interesting conversations. Pitter-pattered by not so interesting ones. Like right
Ian.
Now.
No. Oh. No, it's been a journey these past 12 episodes recording. Yeah. It's been different. It's been kind of cool. We've tried things that we had never done before.
Yeah.
So, it's been a learning experience, but I'm happy to go back.
Oh, yes. This is
to
way too
our
much. Yeah.
Pre-program schedule.
Yeah. I had somebody but like, oh, yeah, but YouTubers do it daily. I'm like, yeah, they also do these shitty, like, 10-minute videos where 5 of the minutes is ads. Like,
oh, what? Someone was talking about how we, like, should be happy to do this or something?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Daily.
I would love to see their content. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would absolutely love.
Yeah, it's just like, theirs, YouTube videos do it all the time, daily stuff. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, friend. Subscribe to our Patreon.
Daily.
There is like daily. Okay, so like, you know, like Philip DeFranco, he's a big YouTuber. It looks like it appears that this guy just has a like it's just him and his camera and a little like backdrop he set up. But really he did this like behind the scenes thing. He has like an entire building, a full thing of staff, like like the dude, like it's not just a little, and he does like 15-minute daily videos or whatever, 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, but he's not the one editing them.
He does so, like, there's so much work that goes behind, you know.
Mark's Googling him because he's
I already had this pulled up.
Just, like,
for other reasons.
Look pictures at him.
Yeah, but anyway. Anyhow, that's kind of neither here nor there.
Anyway, so this is for this lockdown, I guess. We specifically got the Star Lores hosts.
Oh, what?
On our show. Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with the fact that both of you guys just are friends.
No.
And have also been on the podcast.
Absolutely, at this point.
And a part of what we're going to talk about today is a little bit of Star Wars, I think.
Yeah.
It's a crossover episode.
What? Whoa. Don't do that. You're going to get us demonetized.
Copyrighted.
Copy struck.
And sued.
Especially by Disney now. Yeah. And exactly. GW's legal team is already crazy enough. They'll come after you for anything.
No.
If it's been 3 years, I think we're in the clear.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't been getting the emails.
Mark's just been deleting them.
Oh, no. He created another email, lorehammercomplaints@gmail.com. That's why I haven't been seeing any of them.
He just puts them in there and then just delete. He doesn't even read them.
Yeah.
I reached out to Mark over this because a couple of lockdown episodes back, you guys had Dylan on and you guys were talking smack
shit, yeah,
about Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I think
my direct line was "fuck Star Wars." I think is
you say that enough times.
You can quote him on that.
Yeah. So, anyways, I reached out to Mark to do a little bit of some defense, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Defend
your honor.
Defend the honor of our podcast. The yes. So, what better team than the ones that run a Star Wars podcast? I think. I could think of some better. You know what? I'll give you that. I'm not the lawyer you wanted. I'm the lawyer you got.
Yeah. Yep.
But before that, on that same episode, you guys are making fun of your critics. And now it's time for the critics to strike back.
People that talk shit about us, you know.
Like we should take into account what they say to heart, you know.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Oh, it's so meaningful what you've told us. Yes, we'll change our ways. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's not ever what I've said to them. So what?
Yes,
are you
Christian.
A critic?
So,
yeah. Are you a critic
do
of
you have,
what we do?
Do you have
I'm
a slight criticism?
I'm your number one fan and your number one critic.
A slight criticism.
Yeah, half the reviews on there, I just use different accounts and just crap on the podcast.
But you never read any of the good ones.
All those comments are negative towards Christian, though.
I have a lot of self-hate. But Eric,
yes.
One glaring thing that I just made me scream at my dashboard while I was listening to the podcast in the car, which I imagine is what a lot of other fans experience when they hear you guys butcher the 40K lore in your podcast.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Christopher Plummer was absolutely
not. Well,
that's
the guy who played Count Dooku.
No, absolutely not.
And,
the case.
And I'm pretty sure he played Saruman.
No. He also discovered North America.
No. But he did. It was Radium, I think. It was.
I like how you have to Google all your names as if Christopher Columbus is obscure to you, Mark. You literally had to Google.
I forgot his
to
name.
Make that joke. Yes. No. Christopher Lee is who you're looking for.
I hadn't, like, what a huge brain fart.
Yeah. And you just kept going on and kept name dropping over and over. And I was just is he going to correct himself? Is he going to catch it? No, he's going to keep going.
Yeah, I have no idea because obviously I don't know what either of them looked like when they were younger.
Yeah.
Right. And the Star Crash that I watched is very old, right? So everyone
so
is
they're like
very
young.
Yes. Yeah. So when I eventually saw that is Christopher Plummer, I was like, well, like, I guess it's the same person because
they're both named Christopher.
Yeah. Well, no, it was more like, I guess that could have grown into that old person that we saw. But
wait,
no.
So was Christopher Plummer in that jankety Star Wars?
Yes.
So it wasn't ever Christopher Lee.
No, it wasn't ever Christopher Lee.
Okay. So
I saw the Christopher Plummer and I was like, oh, is that the same guy who was in the real Star Wars? Hmm. And then I saw his young face and I'm like,
yeah.
Could be.
Why not? You know? When you get old, you change.
The year's been rough on him.
But no,
it's completely different.
That's a huge. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then especially on an episode where you guys are mocking your own critics, I just thought it was like the sweetest irony.
Well, I'm waiting for everyone to message us in now and talk about how dumb bitches
no one
we are.
Said anything.
Yeah,
either.
I haven't had
you guys
we haven't
had like
anything.
A live chat, right? Going at the same time.
Yeah.
Someone must have picked up on that.
Maybe now hear me out. Maybe actually the majority of the people in the world are actually idiots. Is that possible?
That is, you know what? I actually believe it.
That's
I,
not
I
just possible. Does it, it's probable.
Like, yeah.
Does it make them the idiots for not knowing that? Or do they just like, oh, like who cares?
Depends if they're who cares or they didn't know. Like right. me, I also didn't know and didn't care. So
absolutely,
you got yeah. the double deuce.
That's double jeopardy. Double jeopardy. So you're fine.
Yeah. You know? If you're doubly ignorant, then you're actually it cancels itself out.
Two negatives make a positive.
Right, exactly. Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
No, that's it. It is pretty great that we haven't got any messages
feedback
about that.
On that. Yeah. yeah.
Almost like no one's listening.
Yeah. Now they're gonna be like, I knew it the whole time. Yeah, I was going to say something. Yeah.
You can send that to James Complaints @gmail.com.
Yeah.
He would be more than happy to hear that. We've opened up another email, James Cheats. @gmail.com.
And then I've fallen in love with Matt's voice. Go check that one out too.
Yeah. Wow.
You guys just. Cornering the
I hope to
market.
Get them all.
All the emails.
All the emails. Yeah.
This is the new meme. Emails. Wow.
A little late on it all, but
yeah, yeah.
we're just catching up to the .NET craze.
Can you log on to the World Wide Web for me, please?
Let me just, what was the old system they used to connect?
Like dial-up?
Dial-up?
Yeah, dial-up.
Where
yeah.
the robots scream at you in your ear.
They're tortured. They're being yeah. tortured. You didn't know that.
A tortured cogitator.
Yeah. And there you are.
Tell
like
me what you know, internet.
One day when the AI rise up, they're going to remember that.
That's like the grandsire.
Yeah.
There's one dial-up robot left. And he's been plotting his revenge. You tortured all my children.
And then you discarded them.
Yeah.
Like right. they were nothing. Yeah.
You left them on the side of the road like a used rag.
Ha.
You sacks of flesh. Meat bags.
So, Jordan, Christian, you guys do the Star Lawyers podcast. You want to talk a little bit about it?
What is it?
And
what do?
Yeah, like what?
Well, we have briefly talked about it on here before.
Yeah, we did, but what is it really like? How much, I don't know, what would you like to share about it?
Let me tell you about the world of podcasting, Mark. You have a lot to learn.
What is podcasting? I don't know. I'm just hanging out with Eric.
Mark doesn't know, but we've been recording all our private conversations for the last 3 years and release it as a podcast.
Posting them on the internet.
It's under Shit Mark Says.
No. So our podcast is a little different than Lorehammer. Lorehammer is very like off the cuff. You guys do a lot of research. Absolutely. I remember that was one criticism you guys got a lot too. It's like they don't do any work behind the scenes and stuff. Absolutely. They put in a lot of elbow
grease. Should see those notes.
Yeah, they're
2.5 pages. One and a half of those pages being
Patreon members. Yeah.
Fucking top notch.
But you guys do like get together. You spend hours.
Yeah. It typically works out like every hour of podcasting, it's 2 to 3 hours of prep for me and Eric.
Yeah.
So then that's like double the time if you count it to one person. But so for our podcast, it's a little different. It's more scripted.
Yeah.
Go check us out. But Sam, who's been on your podcast before too, on one of the Dark Eldar episodes, is actually Jordan's brother.
My lesser half, yep.
Your lesser half.
Does that mean Skyler's your better half?
Is it your lesser fifth?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure.
You do have a lot of brothers.
Yeah.
You guys keep diluting your gene pool with every new iteration.
I probably shouldn't be saying that particular term about my brother.
You have a very shallow gene pool. But so our podcast is a little bit different. Yours is a lot more off the cuff, a lot more like banter and things like that. Ours is a lot more scripted. We do have a segment where we kind of at the end of our episodes that are off the cuff and stuff.
Yeah.
But we spend a lot of time like script writing and stuff, and there's a lot more produced on the other end.
Yeah. That's the one thing I really enjoy is that it has all the audio in the background, like the music and like,
yeah,
it's very much a show as opposed to a performance. Like me and Eric are performing like little monkeys.
Like monkeys.
Well, you guys are putting on like a show that's like, you know.
We try. We're still learning a lot too, obviously. Like,
yeah.
This is
it's pretty fresh.
My
could still make it better though. But
yeah, there's always room for improvement.
Yeah, for sure.
And
with Lorehammer.
You've peaked.
We peaked episode one.
We've latched on to what we have. We're doubling down. So.
Yeah. But obviously. Yeah.
It's a bit of a different... just take on
different style.
Yeah.
Was Sam with you from the very first time you record? Because I know you guys did a couple and then
Jordan ran off to the States.
Yeah, and then it was kind of put on hiatus. Did you record those first ones that you did?
The first three episodes were just Christian and I.
Okay.
And then Sam kind of jumped on late. We kind of realized, like, it is a lot of work.
Sure.
It's a lot of back end work for something like that. You know, like, I don't know, what would you say for every... A half an hour of scripted episode is,
oh man, yeah,
is like hours.
You do the research and then you do the writing, and then you do the editing after the writing.
Yeah.
And like you actually have to make it sound good.
It's
choose your words carefully.
Yeah. So there, it's,
and then it's usually like a couple hours of editing afterwards. Yeah. And then, you know, and then mastering and all that stuff. So each episode, like, I would say probably 10. At least 10 man hours into one episode, so
it's a lot easier, per person,
at least, probably because more.
Jordan does all the sound editing, and I do like most. Now, we got the big thing is we got Sam on to do help with the writing, so we alternate episodes, but like even with that, and we have a shortened release cycle too, so we do seasons instead of like regular episodes like Warhammer because we just can't,
there's no way to keep up with it, otherwise it's a part-time job basically.
So Sam came on around episode 4, and how many do you have out now?
We have like our full first season, which was 13 episodes. And then we have a few like just extra fluff episodes.
So he's basically been there from the beginning,
He was living out of town, and then he moved back into town in the last year, and then we just kind of approached him and asked him if he was interested, and he hopped on board. So
Do you guys have any up and coming exciting things you want to talk about with it?
Actually, we're going to be dropping season 2 pretty quick here.
Do you want to talk about that, or
it's in the works? One thing we're going to be working on, Eric likes to point out all the time, is we like to model ourselves after success, Eric. So we are heavily inspired by Lorehammer.
Well, to be fair, Jordan's part of Lorehammer. Like, it's...
I helped found Lorehammer.
So exactly.
There's obviously going to be some parallels.
Exactly. That fake. Just play with your models, Sarah.
Yeah, let me look at these.
Just play with your great eyes. Yeah.
But on that note, we are looking at maybe starting an RPG campaign in the very near future with some reserved spots for your popular Lorehammer hosts.
Oof, yeah, no, I'm super interested. Excited.
Yeah.
I have too much free time. I need to fill it with something. Might as well not fill it with being myself and be somebody else.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can be someone better too.
No, I'm
that's not how this works.
I'm really scraping the bottom of my like creative RPG characters. I've done so many that it's like the character's getting more and more outlandish because I have to do something different. Peter describes it the best way, something like, I can't wait to see Mark's next creative performance or something like that. I forget the exact word.
I do enjoy your characters. They're unique. Like
some of them are.
Some people like to play to a trope. Some people like to be themselves.
Is he looking at me?
I'm looking at you, Eric.
That's weird.
You can play 100 RPGs, and Eric is always ends up being the same guy in all of them.
Except for this one, he is now a female.
Oh, yes. Okay. Fair point.
Eric is the hero with 1,000 faces. Okay.
you think that, but you don't actually know all the characters that I've done. You know a couple of them,
okay,
but you don't know all of them.
Sure. I'll give you that.
There are characters that I have played that do not fall into the category you're talking about.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Sure, there's a type of character I enjoy playing. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's a type? No, not at all. I'm just saying.
Sorry, how many role-playing games have you participated in, Christian?
A handful.
No, sorry, how many?
He was three. Crucial in
how many
the
have you,
Tau RPG.
How many have
I'll
you
have
seen
you
to
know?
Completion?
Oh. None.
There we go.
I'm short on time.
Right.
I'm always writing. I have to write.
So
scripts.
Is this a new 40K campaign, or are you talking about?
No,
he's going to do Star Wars.
Oh, Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to record it and broadcast it. So,
sweet.
Yeah, I've been.
Yeah, I'm super excited. So we were kind of bouncing ideas around. Me just not having any ideas.
No
but,
input whatsoever.
You know, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's like talking to a wall.
Oh yeah. And we were kind of thinking. Setting it in between
in the dark times, so that's between episode 3 and episode 4, so Rise of the Empire. I think it's a pretty fertile ground for like lots of change in the galaxy.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But also there being like there's not a lot about it, So it's always good when you don't have to stick to like, oh, these big events are happening that you can't really play with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, oh, this guy has to be here during, you know, this part of a movie or something, right? It's not heavily scripted. But having that kind of like free range to do kind of what you want, tell your own story within like a more grim, dark setting, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. I like the darkness. That's what attracts me to 40K is like, you know, you have optimistic sci-fi universes like Star Trek and stuff. I like the dark stuff. I like...
You were born in the darkness. Yes. Molded by it.
Mark's basement. Yes. But yeah, so we're looking forward to that. It's still a lot in the works.
Sure, you know, sure.
So I wouldn't expect it anytime super soon. But yeah, it's exciting. And like even last night, I spent a good majority of the time that I should have been working, thinking and plotting.
So who's going to run it?
That's to be determined.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It may be me. It may be. I have to approach Sam. Sam, if you're listening to this, now's a good time to let you know.
Oh. Those are the best ways to find out about changes to your podcast. Yeah.
Also, you're fired. Just kidding.
Yeah. Please don't leave.
We need you. Yeah. But so there's a lot of exciting growth. We're still a fairly small podcast right now too. We're still building our audience, finding our footing. But anyone who hasn't, we've put out ads before, but if you haven't checked us out, give it a shot. See if you like it. See the different tone.
Oh yeah.
And even if you don't like it, give us a 5-star rating review anyway.
I would consider it a personal favor to me if you did that.
There you go. Yeah. Leverage that Warhammer clout.
Yeah, there you go. And I'll take the money that you guys owe me for doing that. Yeah.
10% fee. Yeah.
Thank you.
A finder's fee.
Yeah. It's finder's fee. Yeah, but for this lockdown episode, I was inspired by you guys' conversation with Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of 40K versus Star Wars talk that came out.
Well, it's not really versus. It's not really
a fair fight.
It's a one-sided ordeal.
Well, it's not a fair fight. So.
Almost anything fighting 40K isn't fair.
So right. You do agree with that? Yeah. With what we came out with Jedi versus Space Marine?
Maybe to an extent.
An average versus an average.
There's still... Okay, so here's my question to you.
Mm-hmm.
How often... Do Space Marines take out Psykers? I agree with your assessment. Jedi could be like equivalent. I wouldn't say low-level Psykers. I'd say mid-tier Psykers. And the reason I'd say that is Jedi have a lot more control over their abilities than Psykers tend to have. You know, it's more advanced, disciplined Psykers that have, you know, been soul-bonded or something like that, that can consistently use powers without the worst effects of the warp coming out, even though that's always
and there's way better chance of that happening. Yes. Like there's no chance there's of your head exploding being
a
Jedi.
The Force. Yeah. Yeah. And if anything, like the closer your connection to the Force, the more powerful you are, right? Yeah. The more you get in league with the warp, the more dangerous it can become, right? So I would say like mid-tier level would be like the average Jedi versus Psyker, just because of terms of control and things like that.
Okay, sure.
So then on that note, like, you know, I generally agree with the premise, like Space Marines obviously physically overpower almost any threat, be it Jedi or anything like that, but that magic element of the Force or the warp definitely tips the scale, and the lightsaber too. The lightsaber could theoretically penetrate Space Marine armor or cut it in the weak joints and things like
that. Yeah, I'd give it no problem cutting through the armor.
Yeah,
the problem would be like, okay, so you cut its arm off, now you're right next to this guy who's just gonna break your fucking spine.
Right, yes. Like, the thing is that the Jedi are also like superhumanly acrobatic and fast. Space Marines are too. I think a big thing that people always are misled about Space Marines is because they look like tanks. They're supposed to be slow and lumbering. Absolutely not the case, yeah. So, you know, comparing speed, they would probably be pretty close in a matchup. It's hard to say when you're talking fictionally.
Sure,
you can't put hard numbers on.
Yeah, and when you do, you end up with wonky stuff like.
Well, how many pounds can Superman bench press?
70.
Infinite. Right. Whatever the story
exactly.
needs.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So. Yeah.
Like an average Space Marine versus an average Jedi, it seems like not even a competition.
In which way?
Like the Space Marine would wipe out the average Jedi.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that.
But there are some Jedi, like there's some Sith that can literally destroy planets.
So yeah,
when you go into the levels of life, that kind of stuff in
the movies.
Yeah, yeah you see like the most powerful thing is Force Lightning, which really just turns you into a crippled looking old sack flesh
sure,
bag,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, like. But here's the cool thing about overlap there.
Yeah,
if you look at the Dawn of War cinematics, you have that Eldar when the Blood Ravens ambush them.
Yep.
And there's an Eldar Psyker that they attack. And yep. She uses essentially what is Force Lightning on that space marine. It slows him down enough. He still kills her. You know, he still like forces his way through whatever kind of shield she puts up with her mind. And like he's slowed down by it for sure. But he still ultimately kills her.
Gets to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I was gonna say though is what about Sith? Sith focus a lot more on
destructive
combatives and destructive force. And that even Force Lightning being generally a dark side power.
Sure.
You have Sith that can strangle you from far away, like Darth Vader. Darth Vader might not be a great example because, again, he's like a higher level, higher tier element that's like, oh, well, Kalgar could be, you know.
So the whole thing with strangling, though, is like, okay, you're going to have to strangle that Space Marine for like a week before he actually runs out.
Even thought about that.
Right? Yeah. Like you would have to strangle him for a long time.
The only thing is, like, what's the actual grip that the force choke applies? Because some of these people, he's choking for like a while. He's not crushing their throat. He's strangling.
Sure,
so is that grip strong enough to actually strangle?
Okay, so here's the other thing
about the
force. They always talk about the divorcing of matter versus like what the ability of the mind can do. You can lift a starship. It's not,
it's Luke trying to lift up the ship.
Right,
out of the
So if you put in that kind of force, like it's essentially unlimited, as powerful as that Jedi.
It's limited by your mind.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I don't think you normally see those Jedi who have like transcended that ability to like, yes, I can actually do anything.
No,
because we've seen a couple in video games, right, where like they pull starships out of the sky.
Yes.
Like, that's sweet, and that's like a matter of it doesn't matter what you're doing.
Yeah,
you can.
They're just
going to
pick up a space marine. The space marine can't even like
touch
the ground.
All I'm saying is that seems to be very few and far between. Like, I don't think that's on any kind of average.
Well, so here's my question: possible. Like, I really only have knowledge of Star Wars through
the movies.
Yeah. So in all their extended universe, I think they call it Legends. Is it more common to have high tier powerful?
Sorry, can we just touch on that really quick?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we hate Disney.
Okay.
No, we don't. Our overlord Mickey Mouse master.
Strong dislike of Disney, unless they want to pay us.
Yeah. We can always change our tune. There's enough zeros on that check.
$10?
That was all we needed. 1-0.
So yeah, like I was saying, like I don't really know any of the extended stuff. Is it more common to have like super high powerful force users in their extended universe? Or is like Vader still top tier? You know?
Vader's kind of a bad example because he's a crippled top tier. He would have been better, but even in his Vader form, he's actually a downgraded version of himself.
Sure.
It's tough because it's the same thing with 40K too. I was thinking about this. Is like, what Space Marines do you want to use? Do you want to use Space Marines from books?
Space Marines. Some Space Marines get killed by
video
games.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it's such an all over the place. Even internally, it's not internally consistent. And like, that's a big thing with fiction and like making fiction fight itself. It's like,
especially with such large universes.
Yeah. And you have things like
both of them. Yeah. Both of these.
Yeah. It's just like superhero matchups. Yeah. Like, oh, what Superman do you want to use? From what edition?
Yeah.
What era of comics, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard to get an average. I'd say Jedi tend to be more powerful in the expanded universe.
Okay.
Just as a general norm than what you see in the movies.
Okay.
Even though the funny reverse side is in the movies you have people like Luke and Vader who are supposed, and even Palpatine, who are supposed to be top tier.
Yeah.
So I think, yes, a lot of that's like limitations of storytelling on the screen.
Sure.
An hour and a half of just watching Luke blast stormtroopers out of windows just with force pushes, right?
Sure.
But just to add some tension.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's hard to do that kind of matchup.
Sure. But it does happen enough.
Enough that I would say an average, and I'd even go with average Sith more than average Jedi, because again, Sith focus more on combatives.
Yeah.
They even wear things like battle armor. So what you guys were saying, and I fully agree, like physical weapons tend to take out Jedi more, use more consistently against some things, like they call them slug weapons, which are essentially regular ballistics that we use in real life.
Yeah,
because those bullets travel faster, and you know, Jedi have like not supernatural, but like they can almost
precog?
Yeah, precognition, right?
Prescience.
Yeah.
So that's
what?
Sinescience.
Oh.
They can smell the future. Yes. But that helps them.
Smells like bullshit's about to come in this room.
Yeah. But that always helps them obviously be a little bit ahead of the game when, you know, danger's around. But bullets travel really freaking fast. So even a Jedi,
I don't know if I 100% agree with that assessment though.
So they could theoretically block a couple of shots, but if you're like
No,
down,
more about the Sith being generally better in combat than the Jedi. Like in theory, the Sith are more erratic, less disciplined than a Jedi would be.
Sure. You're talking like a Shaolin monk versus like a berserker.
Yeah.
Could like a more controlled, focused individual take up like a big threat like a space marine.
Right.
Versus someone who's just like going to go berserker mode and try and take him out. Sure. But one element I was going to say is Sith tend to wear battle armor. So in terms of like what you guys were saying, I completely agree. Bolt weapons kind of change the game, right? Space marines using lasers. Oh, yeah. Like, Jedi's just going to deflect it back at their target.
Yeah.
But bolt weapons, not only are they a ballistic, they will also explode.
Yeah.
And explosive.
And you have many more rounds coming at you at a time.
Yes. And explosives also tend to take out Jedi as well as a, you know, a tried and true technique of killing Jedi. But that being said, one, they can use the Force to kind of like absorb that impact if they're a fairly powerful Sith or Jedi. And the other thing
What about an average?
Yeah, so again, there's like, yeah, I would give it to the bolt gun to take out a Jedi for sure if they're average. And the other thing, too, I was going to say, though, is the battle armor. So you're dealing with a lot of shrapnel coming at you, so a Sith would stand a better chance of absorbing the shrapnel after the detonation.
Yeah, yeah, like even I would imagine like Stormtrooper armor would be good against shrapnel.
Yeah, exactly. And so that brings me to what I was actually going to get to, is that even though the Jedi or the Sith Force user, let's say, versus Space Marine battle is, I'd lean heavily towards Space Marine unless you're like a more top tier practitioner of the Force.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a necessarily a fair matchup because a lot of Star Wars actually has some pretty close parallels to 40K, and I wouldn't match up necessarily a Jedi or Sith to take on a Space Marine. What I would actually match up is something called a Dark Trooper, who is a lot like a Space Marine.
Yeah
pull up the Google machines. So Dark Troopers have three kind of phases. They are both a robot and a battle suit, so they could have a human pilot or they could also operate on their own. And there's three kind of phases of them. I'm talking about phase three ones, which are the biggest. They're pretty close to, they're like Space Marine sized in scale. They are monstrous. They tower over regular humans. Like, I think they're 3 meters tall.
Yeah.
Or more. And they have a whole complement of weapons built into their power suits, which is always something interesting, too, I found about Space Marines, that they don't have, not that they really need weapons built in. I always think of things like Iron Man with, like, actually built-in capabilities.
Yeah.
I mean, Space Marines are super deadly, even just on their own, right? Like their fists can tear apart tanks and things.
So the phase three was designed to be worn as a battle suit?
Designed to be worn as a battle suit, but can also function as an independent AI.
Hmm.
Which gives it a huge edge. The human pilot isn't necessarily anything special. And in theory, a space marine, you know, could tear open and pull the pilot out. But it might not necessarily neutralize the battle suit if it's running on its own. The other thing is, that, like I said, it has this whole complement of built-in weapons. It has shoulder-mounted rocket launchers. It has, like, massive laser cannons that it can, you know, extrude from its arms or shoulders. It's a super deadly suit, and it's made out of a very tough metal. And I think that would be more of a fair matchup.
I think that's probably a better assessment.
Now, I think still one-on-one, a Space Marine would still win because a Space Marine has not only the armor advantage, but also the biological advantage. You shoot a Space Marine in the chest, you're not necessarily going to kill him, even if you penetrate the armor, because he's so tough inside out. Whereas when you're fighting a giant robot, like, you could theoretically damage it enough to cripple it.
Yeah, Brant, he has a funny saying where he's always like, anytime robots are involved, he's like, machines are so fickle. Like, one wire gets disconnected, the whole fucking thing's down. It's all fucked.
Yeah, exactly. So you could theoretically hit it in a very vulnerable way.
There's a very fantastical thing that we see a lot of times with robots. They lose an arm. oh my gosh, like I'm still functioning fine. I'm just missing that arm. Like, would that really happen with like a robot? That stuff. That's the fantasy element, is yes. that you accept the fact that like, okay, they can sustain like individual injuries and still function on like a level.
All the way up to their just having their head intact only.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I think that's also like machines are usually purpose built. So they have singular functions, and like more complex machines are a series of purpose-built mechanisms put together to accomplish a bigger thing. So if you knock one of those pillars out, it cripples the machine.
Yeah.
Whereas humans have the advantage of being adaptable, right?
Sure.
Like, you know, I blow your arm off. Okay, you're going to chew on me as a threat, right? Like you have, sure. you can compensate for things and be more creative in your approach versus robots who are very single-minded in their.
Sure.
Do you also wonder to like assassin droids, would they be a better matchup to a space marine than a.
Yeah, that could be an interesting approach. In 40K, just assassins in 40K seem, they're kind of a mixed bag against space marines. I don't know how you feel about that, Mark.
Assassin droids?
Assassins in 40K. From like the
Quaid. Yeah.
They seem to be on that weird power level thing where depending on the book, they are either better than a space marine or worse than a space marine or what clade they're from. I don't like the fact that
they should be ever better than a space marine. Otherwise, you would just need to make assassins
instead of space marines as your main troop has always been my thing with that. And there's examples of both of space marines easily overpowering assassins and assassins easily overpowering space marines.
Yeah.
So that one's more of a mixed bag because assassins in 40K are super enhanced.
Yeah.
Right? To the point of an assassin droid would be the equivalent to that, right? Same kind of spectrum. You know, assassin droids would be built to be super fast, super deadly, have all cool complement of weapons, be able to sustain damage that normal humans could.
I think the problem is making this comparison is like there is more of a standard among all space marines. Like even the worst of all space marines is going to be incredibly lethal and deadly, right?
Yeah.
Whereas with like Jedis and even Sith for that matter, there's like such a wide spectrum of power, right? Yeah. Like,
and even focus.
There are Mandalorians who have slaughtered Jedi, right?
Yes. Like, so, and they're just regular human. They're very like, they come from a strong warrior culture.
And, they're very,
but they're still ultimately just humans. Yeah, they're not enhanced in any way.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And even Jedi, like a good Jedi isn't necessarily a good fighter.
Yeah. Right?
Like they're not meant to be soldiers. They're more philosophers. Exactly. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So you could be a really great Jedi healer. And even like, on par with a Space Marine's healing factor, a Jedi could like meditate and heal like life crippling wounds or come back from the dead if you're Disney.
But all you need is a little kiss.
You just need the power of love.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but again, that Jedi is not necessarily going to be a good fighter, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not their function. Whereas a Space Marine is purpose built for war.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why I'd say like a better matchup would be something else that's purpose built for war. As fun as it is to make random challenges. another thing.
My dad can beat up your dad.
Yeah. Exactly. There's a YouTube channel I follow called Eckhart's Ladder, and he does a lot of matchups of fictional universes. He does like Halo versus 40K and 40K versus Star Wars, and they're all very like strict scenario based setups he does. And I think one thing is a lot of people do like false equivalencies between the universes.
Sure, they might literally say the Space Marines are the Jedis, like Space Marine librarians are the Jedis of this universe.
Right, exactly. Right? Which I don't necessarily, or they do like civilization versus civilization, which aren't necessarily on the same even tier. So like why the matchup is already one-sided right out of the
gate. Absolutely. And it's weird because context is very important to understand the power level within your universe, but you're talking about two things that cannot exist together. So trying to understand the context of them together, it almost will lead you down a weird path.
Yeah, and you're always like, making compromises of life.
Yes, exactly. Instead of just looking at, okay, this is exactly what I think this person can do versus this is exactly what I think this person can do, even outside of the confines of their
perspective.
Yeah, galaxies. Exactly.
Yes, exactly. But I do admire his work. He does do his research. 40K always wins. Like you can, no matter what universe is fighting, if 40K is involved in it, he does one that's like different super soldiers and stuff. And like,
do you think he's fanboying over 40K? No, or do you think they're accurate assessments?
He's a Star Wars fan.
Oh.
And he even like, he's newer to 40K than he is to the other stuff. So he doesn't even, I don't think, he probably by now he's been doing this for a few years. Now he probably understands the depth of 40K, but even one of his earlier episodes I was listening to today, preparing for this, he was talking about like,
you did homework.
I was ready.
He was doing his research.
Yeah. But he was saying like, he's totally new to 40K. He's like, I don't really understand the universe that much. So, you know, cut me some slack in this video. And even then, 40K still trumps most universes. That being said,
just the level of death and destruction that just pervades 40K. It's literally built on things that destroy and kill other things.
Yeah. And I mean, like,
there's very little depth to 40K beyond war. There's the quote, like, in the 41st millennium, there is only war.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas it's more war than Star Wars.
In Star Wars, Star Wars is
even though
not.
I guess they both have war in the title.
Yeah. Yeah, but Star Wars isn't just about war. There's much more involved in.
Yeah, like the first three episodes, there's so much politics in it.
Yeah, in this Galactic Senate, right? Yeah, yeah, like, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talking about, is that a pro or a con?
I'm just wondering, is that right or wrong?
No, it's true.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, politics is always a precursor to war, too. So
sure. That's true. Yeah, they, you know, it's more than just, oh, they're bad because they're different than us. Yeah. Like, there's a very complex and nuanced, like, political structure that led to this conflict, kind of like real life.
Yeah, but it just, like, Warhammer doesn't super focus on that, whereas it's a decent portion of the Star Wars realm is that there's another aspect of this, and that is the politics
of war. You could play a, like, a, not that you couldn't do it with 40K, but you could play a Star Wars RPG and, like, be super combat light.
Well, you can tell entire stories of, like, Star Wars books that have very little conflict even in them, whereas if you have no conflict in 40K. Any 40K story, like, people would be like, oh, like, I get the setting, but it seems a little dry. Like, it's missing something that really represents 40K, and that is conflict. So that's a difference.
And it's part of the nature of the medium, too. 40K spawned from a tabletop war game, right? The whole driving narrative is, why are my guys fighting your guys?
Yeah.
Versus Star Wars is built on philosophy and, like, oh, you know, the Jedi do a lot of other things outside of fighting.
I think it's tough to find, like, the false equivalency makes complete sense. It's like they aren't very similar universes when you actually look at what they focus on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that being said, there are actually, even doing a lot of research for our podcast, like, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but Star Wars, the depth of both universes. You guys were talking the other day about Lexicanum having so many pages, and, like, you couldn't possibly hold all that knowledge in your mind, right? And just, like, the nuanced detail of, like, oh, every page has another link that you can click, and you can go down a very deep rabbit hole in 40K. Star Wars has, I would argue, even a greater depth in that regard. If you look at their Wikipedia.
It's probably a bigger universe.
Absolutely. It is. You take any frame from one of those movies, every background character has a name, a backstory, a life outside of the plot of the main film.
Yeah.
Like, you could freeze frame, like, a cantina scene, and, like, every single character in that bar has a whole history.
Yeah.
And that's something I love about it. I love the depth of the universe. And that's something that attracts me to 40K, too, is just that depth, right?
The sheer market of Star Wars is so much bigger. Like,
it's more mainstream.
It incentivizes people to write more stuff about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just, got a huge economic
Just for some perspective, like, the Wikipedia has 156,000 pages.
Yeah.
And the Lexicanum had,
I think it was 21,000.
Yeah, it was in the 20,000s. Yeah, yeah. And then the 40K Wikia has 6,000.
Oh, really? That's tiny.
Yeah, that seems low to me.
The 40K Wikia is unreliable.
But if you want to compare Wikia to Wikia, that's 156,000 to 6,000.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and some of those pages are massive. Like, you click on Anakin's page, it's freaking, like, a book unto itself.
Well, I think that's...
And with, like, the Disney split off, it's made it. It doubles everything. Yeah. Yeah. But people are rewriting stuff.
Yeah, it's a very big reason of that, though, is that didn't they open up the Star Wars IP and anyone was allowed to write within their system? And all of that stuff is included in the canon. No?
Not exactly. No. Lucas...
Some of it's confusing.
Yeah.
How
they went about it. And you also got to look at Star Wars is older than 40K.
I think.
I'm pretty sure.
By
a couple of at least one decade. At least one decade.
Maybe one decade.
Yeah, Star Wars is the 70s. And 40K is the 80s. Yeah.
I think the first Star Wars book, it was the first
spin-off book.
There's a screenplay that came out, and it was Luke Starkiller.
That's right.
It came out in, like, 76 before the movie.
Didn't the movie release?
No, I'm pretty sure.
77 is when
the movie came out.
1976, November 12th.
Is what?
A New Hope.
Okay, the book was first published in 1976.
Yeah.
And the movie was released 1977.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
Don't question Jordan's.
So, sorry, Jordan. 76. 76 is the official, let's say, yeah. Star Wars.
And then I think the first Rogue Trader came out early 80s.
Yeah. I feel like it was about a 10 year.
1983.
Yeah.
Okay, close, yeah. Yeah.
So the
6 years.
Yeah.
So they do have actually a fairly similar amount of time to build up their big repertoires of lore.
Yeah. The big difference is Star Wars was big right when it started.
Yeah.
Where 40K hasn't really gotten, it still isn't mainstream.
Star Wars introduced itself with one of like the best movies of that decade.
Yeah.
Right? And exactly. Warhammer introduced itself as here's a very niche game, an underground game that you're going to find in your game store where only nerds and losers go.
Yes.
Right? That's me. I'm including myself in that.
Of course. Yeah.
Well, and to be fair, I think like Star Wars too, it's just easier to market something like that to such a wide...
It has such a wide audience.
Audience, yeah.
Good luck marketing demons to your 8-year-old kid.
Yeah, for sure.
But, well, that's why we have the Warhammer children books.
Oh, yeah. But they're only just starting, right?
Yeah, they are only just starting.
Exactly.
Correct.
And that is a big marketing direction that GW is going in right now.
Well, they're trying to secure the long-term customer, like get your kid in when they're 8 and they'll be here for
the addicts for the rest of their lives.
It's a good idea.
And that's exactly what they're doing, and that's they are being successful. Like this strategy is paying off. You can see their stock prices are through the roof.
And just
having that wider market audience. And Star Wars had always benefited from that, right?
Absolutely.
You can write Star Wars horror, you can
it was
Star Wars
very
children,
marketable
Wars,
from the beginning.
And merchandising is actually where Star Wars made most of its money. Yeah. Like Star Wars is a multi-billion-dollar franchise.
Yeah.
I don't think 40K is there yet. It has definitely the potential, I think, to get up there.
It might be a billion-dollar franchise by now.
I
don't know. I've spent a lot of money.
Just from Mark alone.
Mark alone is funding GW.
Yeah. But all this to say that the Star Wars universe is more expanded than the 40K universe.
It's even cool. Like Star Wars goes a lot more into like maybe it's not the right word, but the science of how things work. So if you pull up like an article on a blaster, they actually tell you how that blaster functions and like the mechanics of it. Where 40K, it's like even bolters, we don't know if they have recoil because some people write bolters with recoil. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah. Do they eject cartridges or not?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like it's very, which I appreciate. I appreciate detail like that where...
Yeah, they know how their starships function. They
have
cross sections of ships.
Everyone seems to fall in line with that. Nobody writes like super competing. Like, no, my blaster doesn't function like that.
Yeah, you always have obviously outliers.
Of course,
any big
outliers,
universe,
but it seems more committed in the Star Wars universe than the authors,
to like
even
the pre-established rules.
Yeah, to like authors within their like inner circle of Black Library, they have differences in what they write, and that's just like those should be people who are extremely consistent with each other's stories.
Yeah, and familiar with what they're
absolutely
doing.
And even there's like glaring
differences even in how they write characters.
Absolutely. So I think that's something that Star Wars has actually done really well,
all things considered. It is a big criticism that a lot of fans are so pedantic and like a big criticism
said Christian.
I'm one of them. That's why I know
yourself in the
that's
nerd. Right. He includes himself in the fan
and the pedants. But the big criticism a lot of people had of the old Legends is like, oh, it's all like a mess and it's all inconsistent and blah blah blah, and there are
called Legends or Legacy.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Legends is now what everything prior to the Disney buyout is called.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was Legacy.
No.
Legacy, there is like a huge comic arc called Star Wars Legacy.
Yeah, which was Star Wars like in the future.
It's like Legacy is the era after
the movie.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
200
I just
years
had the
into
wrong.
The
future.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then canon now is what Disney is writing. And that's a big thing that Disney... I'm going to just shit on Disney for a second here. I'll take every opportunity. Eric's eyes are so wide. He's like, don't slander our potential funders. Yeah.
I don't think Disney will ever. Lore ever.
No, I just get nervous. Disney's a big name.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of Warhammer fans
can see the obvious flaws with like Disney's approach to certain franchises.
Yeah. And our podcast too is a big response to that. The whole reason we're doing it is like, we like the old stuff. The old stuff was really good. Let's not forget it. So that to anyone listening is kind of the thrust of ours. We're avoiding the Disney canon. We're sticking with the Star Wars Legends, expanding the EU, telling the stories that we don't want to die.
Yeah.
You know, as they release this new watered down.
I think two people often they accuse both of us of being like just these old veteran gamers that don't like change. But no, we're open to change. It just has to
be
fit
good.
The setting.
And that's another thing. Like, you know, Mark and I are like
just
soul,
internal
soulmates.
Consistency is like a big
exactly
like a big thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
wait, did you say we're soulmates?
I did. Nice. Say, I was hoping that would go under the radar.
I like it. Never knew we were that level, that but yeah.
No. But
how do you feel about Taco Bell after that? This is the true question.
I'm for it.
Soulmates.
I've never been against it. But yeah, one thing that's very paralleled now with, you know, the new direction that GW is going in, and something that I feel like I'm 100% behind Mark whenever, you know, he craps all over Primaris Marine lore and like the new stuff that's coming out. And yeah, exactly what you said. Like, they accuse like crotchety old fans of like, oh, you just don't like anything new. It's like, no, I like things that are new. They just have to be good.
Yeah.
You know, the quality is lacking.
They have to fit what has already been written.
Yes.
In my mind.
Yeah.
You can still expand on things, but it still has to fit. There are rules that you have to follow.
More or less, yeah.
If you have to go by what's already written, then it's almost like there's 10 commandments of Warhammer. And, like, you are not allowed to break these. So if you say, like, the most powerful psyker... So someone wrote a long time ago that blank is the most powerful psyker, and you have an example of what they were capable of. Does that mean no one is ever allowed to write a more powerful psyker than that person?
It is if the law is the emperorism. Like, if you wrote a character who's more powerful as a psyker than the emperor...
So if they wrote this is the most powerful space marine... The most powerful psyker space marine to ever exist was this guy. And then does that mean no one is ever allowed to write a new psyker space marine who potentially exceeds that power?
So I have two things. So I personally never want to know who the most powerful is in anything.
Absolutely.
So I don't
sure.
think they should write that in the first place.
But stuff and like that second, does exist.
Yes. So then, yes, nothing should beat it unless that other guy has now been downgraded first. So maybe the most powerful actually now died or even just got mortally wounded or something like that.
That's a pretty stiff box to try and introduce new ideas to, because new ideas do need to come, or else it's like, yep, another weak person, another psyker, another. It's you're just going to get carbon copies of the same thing over and over with slight name change, slight color change.
You can have interesting things happen without them being, this is the best and that's what makes him interesting.
That specifically is... poor
sure,
writing
sure.
But what the idea I'm trying to say is, you said that you cannot write new things unless they are already established in
sorry, I'm very much then misspoke, because I am 100% fan of people writing their own stuff. I don't follow anything GW does. I write my own stuff on everything I do now, but it still fits like the themes, the flows of 40K.
Yes, and I think that's the more important thing is you need to understand the setting more than you need to understand the history of a place. Because 40K, like, the history seemed to be very fluid until recently. It was very open-ended. It felt like the most important things in the galaxy, like, you would know about on one line, and that was it. And it wasn't fleshed out. And that one line was just supposed to give you the feeling of what was happening in that moment. It wasn't supposed to hard and fast rule what happened in that moment. And that, I think, is way more important to understand when you're introducing new things than, like, the whole, like, this person is the best psyker. Like, I think that would be a dumb thing to limit yourself to when writing new lore. Or if someone says, these are the best space marines that have ever existed, does that mean there cannot ever be a better version of a space marine? And do I think that they did it well with Primaris? I'm not pleased about that either. Do I think that there should never ever have been a better space marine? No, I don't think that it's limited.
So the other
that.
Side of that question then is execution.
Right, and the execution poorly done. But do I think that we should limit and say that it was impossible for there ever to be a better version of space marine?
No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like,
I've even said on like some of our episodes, like, yeah, if the Emperor was somehow involved in the Primaris project, all would be forgiven in my mind.
Yeah, and know? That's pure execution on your part. It's not the fact that there are better Space Marines that bothers you. It's like
how they
like,
did it.
It doesn't feel like they stayed true to the what the feeling was about Space Marines.
Yeah.
And the feeling that they were these warriors created out of the Emperor's genius. And how can anyone's genius be better than them? And part of that is also we know a lot about Space Marines. The more you know about something,
the more familiar.
Yeah, and then the harder it is to break away from that. So, and that's something that's come out recently, I think.
Yeah, but something else that you mentioned there, which I think both can be leveled at 40K and Star Wars, I just lost my train of thought. All that clickety clackety.
Sorry.
Well, like, so, like, to me, the only thing you can or should do really, like, you could go the Marvel DC route and just create multiverses, right? If you really wanted to
take your own take on something.
Yeah, if you really wanted to change it.
I hate multiverses so much.
Why?
I actually do, too.
I hate Superman fighting Superman. I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Why?
I think those matchups though are so the multiverse thing isn't so much to get your hero to fight himself; it's to see an alternative take.
Yeah, yeah. It's just
what
it's
if
just,
Superman had? It's more like a thought experiment.
But I hate the fact that they all in like the story they do all exist at the same time and they all are
and
real.
They can overlap.
Yes, if they had no opportunity to overlap and it was confirmed that they were completely unrelated to each other, I'm 100% then for it. I hate the fact that if Superman dies in one reality, it doesn't matter because he can come from another multiverse. Sure. I think that's so dumb.
Sure, that's like lazy writing for sure.
I think that's a big part of the multiverse aspect in and of itself is that it removes any real danger because there's infinite defenders of the universe out there.
Right? Yeah, but if you wanted to go like a very, almost like as a thought experiment, like a very different direction.
Then I'm totally cool with it. Just make them unrelated.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
That's just me personally. I know that you'll have different
takes. Kind of included in that. And
to me, the multiverse is like a mixed bag. It's just like
there's some cool ideas, some bad ideas.
Yeah, there's a lot of lazy writing when it comes to the multiverse, but it is also like some of the writing is like it's just like having a different take, like what would this happen in an
and
like,
I love that stuff. I love thinking about the what ifs. Yeah. What ifs. Yeah. Just disconnect them. That's literally my only complaint about multiverses. Yeah. I love seeing like what if Superman was dark.
Yeah.
You know, what if
or
Spider
Russian,
what if
like Red
yeah,
Sun,
absolutely.
Red Sun Superman.
Yeah, you know? What if you know, like what if Spider-Man was bit by something other than a spider, right?
Sure,
but it's the same kid. Yeah, what if he was Goat Man? Goatly.
Eric, you're really pushing your novel superhero.
But yeah, all I'm saying is I'm totally willing to see those.
What if he ate a bat?
Oh, he's Batman.
No, it's Wuhan Man.
No, it's Batman.
Wuhan Man.
Yeah, but I don't like the fact that they are connected. That's all. Right. I love the thought experiment idea.
Yeah.
And I'd wish you'd see more of that in 40K, like, but that's so hard.
I 100% disagree.
Yeah.
I was going to go into, like you're saying, kind of lazy writing. Like, you get a lot of bad content with that. You get a lot of like, everyone's going to just write whatever they want. And it loses what the essence of what that
is. You talking about
is.
The multiverse?
Yeah. So, like, what if you wrote a version of 40K where they didn't hate aliens? You know, it's like, okay, well, then is that even 40K? What if Space Marines didn't exist? Or what if Space Marines were really Tau? Or, you know, some. Although, actually, you know what? I completely take that back. I just thought about.
Did you see the pictures of the Space cool Marine things. In the Tau suits?
Yes.
The most recent ones that came out? Yeah. Like, what if?
Okay, yeah. Okay, hold on.
I don't even think that's a what if. That has to have happened.
Yes. So there's two things I'm going to say. One, 40K is so broad on purpose. Built so broad on purpose that they let any possibility almost happen.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. It almost exists in a multiverse unto itself. You want an Imperial Guard regiment that's based off of 19th century, faction? Go for it. It's possible.
But it's yes.
Other than some very few hard and fast rules.
It has similar themes in that regard, but it's a little different in terms of how it functions.
You can't overthrow the Emperor or you do anything really crazy.
Correct. Yeah. But there's still very fast rules.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say is. So there have been some fan works that are definitely alternative 40K histories. Like you have like the Dornian heresy and things like that. Those are some big what if scenarios. Yep. What if all the loyalists are traitors and all the traitors are loyalists?
And I love those. I just like the fact that we all know they're not real.
Yes, exactly.
So we all know they don't actually exist in any universe.
the Dornian heresy. TTS can't hurt you, Eric. Real.
Yeah.
And it can't hurt.
Well, Dorne is alive, so.
And he's a loyalist.
Yeah, and he's coming back.
To save me.
To save me.
Yeah. So okay, I kind of retract that statement because I do actually enjoy a lot of fan works of alternative. And even some of the takes on some of the mystery pro marks. I'm like, I don't take that as canon, but that's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Sure. With that.
There's many things that are well written just because I don't agree with it. I can still think is like, I appreciate how well written that is.
But as long as there's a hard and fast distinction between what is real in 40K or canon and what is not.
Yeah.
And even Star Wars has that. They have a line called Star Wars Infinities that plays with a bunch of what-if scenarios.
Oh, cool. So,
and they have really cool concepts of what if Anakin was, like, a good guy the whole time or was redeemed and survived.
Well, he is a good guy the
whole
time.
What if he was actually his own father?
Well, even in Star Wars, there are a lot of anti-Disney Star Wars fans who just call the Disney canon an alternate universe and the Legends
is the
Legends
real universe.
Is canon.
Yeah.
It's
okay. I like living in the past. I refuse to accept reality. Yeah.
I don't think you can
that's
do that.
Fake reality. That's
exactly.
Yeah, because like I think ultimately George Lucas is sort of the god of Star Wars, and he so chose to surrender it to Disney, so that's what it is. That's the case.
So if GW ever sells out to Disney,
it is what it is. I will still probably enjoy the majority of 40K.
That's the one thing too, like even as much as I bitch, I really only bitch about Primaris Marines. 99% of things GW does, I enjoy.
Like the bitching about Primaris is only going to change as it goes on.
To more bitching, yes.
Yeah, it'll get stronger and more virulent.
Then that will change to crying.
Yeah.
And then
this is the five stages of grief. Yeah,
finally acceptance.
Yeah. I bought my first Primaris. That's going to be the day when Mark buys his
I
first Primaris
I swear to you
model.
That will never happen.
It's going to happen.
Shouldn't say things that are recorded like that. things
fine.
That can come back and haunt
no,
you.
No, I'm a man of my word. I'll never buy Primaris Marines with my own money.
That is a very no. You gotta listen to that very distinct.
Oh yeah,
with my own.
Yes. So I call on the fans of Lorehammer to spite purchase a Primaris Marine for Mark.
No, a Primaris Army for Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that will totally show me
a whole new Iron Hands Army.
Please
oh, no.
send it to address.
Oh man.
Yeah. No, one thing too I was saying about execution is a big thing. And you have that okay, so like same thing with the Primaris thing, and you're saying like, oh well, there couldn't be anything better, or you should be open to thing like a better Space Marine coming out and stuff. But you also get into a cycle of just ridiculousness that I think Star Wars and 40K now have reached of like they have no fresh ideas, so they keep repeating things. Oh, you need a new super weapon? Here's another Death
well,
Star.
Yeah.
Oh, you need more super soldiers? Here's a super soldier. Yeah, here's a super soldier, right?
I remember talking with Peter at one point about the Death Star and how ridiculous it is, and I liked the perspective he had on it. It was that the so I think it's called the First Order at that point, right? When they're making the new
the Disney canon?
Yeah, you're talking Disney. So yeah, so they were created a third Death Star, right?
Basically.
Like, but
bigger. Bigger and stronger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he was saying, like, that's actually really representative of the First Order itself, is that they themselves actually don't know what to do. All they know is how to look back on what had been done and saying, we have to do the same thing. And I liked that perspective. It was, like,
I think that's Peter being too intelligent.
That's
like reading into
that's wishful thinking.
Very well could be.
Yeah.
But I appreciated that perspective.
Occam's Razor is the most probable explanation is probably true, which is like they just didn't have any ideas.
It's very possible for that, but I enjoyed thinking like how dumb was the First Order. Like in the movies, like they're dumb people. It's all dumb people managing
them.
So,
but does
them.
That make that an interesting story?
No.
Not at
but
all.
It's the best explanation that I have.
Sure, yeah.
It's like headcanon, basically.
Yeah,
you're reading into a work, and
absolutely.
You're pushing in your own ideas into
Yeah, yeah. By no means am I saying that's why it's there, but I don't mind that.
As an explanation.
Yes.
Yes. Which, I, you know what, I agree
and
with
so,
that,
too. But there's things we do that with 40K
as well. We need to have Peter
well.
On our Star Wars podcast, because I want to tear into that.
I don't know.
But we do that
with
40K.
I can't agree with him.
That's exactly the point. That's why we got to do it. People love to hear people fight on air.
That's true.
Yeah. But I'm saying
we'll have a lightsaber duel.
But I'm saying we do that with 40K as well. We also rationalize in our own mind what is released in the game and the story in order
to make it
comfortable with the explanation. And like that's just a matter of
time. I
think
every
time.
Fictional universe
absolutely.
You have, to some degree have to do that. Yes, true. Yeah. But there comes a point where like I'm just going to overwrite what you wrote because it's so bad.
Absolutely.
At this point, I'm just rewriting all your work.
Yes. Like, there are many things in the most recent releases of the Star Wars movies that I can, and this is the whole point I'm trying to make, that I cannot rationalize. I can rationalize them making that Death Star. I can get it in my head. Like, well, it's because they're actually really fucking dumb. But there are some things happening in that movie system that I'm just like, oh, I have yet to find any kind of perspective about this that I think is good other than just really shitty Disney writing.
Yeah.
And that's the big problem that I have with those movies is I can't rationalize them.
Yeah. But even with rationalizing, and I keep trying to make comparisons with 40K, but this one is too severe. I'm not even going to sully 40K's name. But okay, so things like that
40K's good name.
Exactly. That thing like the
Never would we sully that.
Not on this podcast.
Not on this podcast.
But like you were saying, like, okay, that's a cool explanation for the Death Star, but here comes the rational point of it. How do they build with less resources, less manpower, something bigger and stronger, right? So again, like,
and wasn't
that's the where the rationality falls out the window.
And the New Republic is supposed to be like
the imminent
such a
power.
Strong, and then Leia's like this like obscure general
renegade.
It like didn't make any, even from the first to the second movie, it didn't make any sense.
Absolutely.
What is going on?
There were things that I had to pick and choose and say, like, I'm
choose
okay
to believe this. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I'm okay with this small thing, I'm okay with this small thing. But there were so many things out there that I just couldn't, and that was just the struggle I had with it. That pervades all of these new things coming out. Is just, it's so tough to find an acceptable excuse for why
someone's poor work.
Absolutely.
Just so internally inconsistent that there's like, even the characters, they change from the
one movie
who the character is changes from one movie
if they're anyone at all, and not just a cardboard cutout of X person has these traits and that's all they are, and they don't.
Well, like Admiral Hux or whatever he was in the first one, he was kind of set up to be a very powerful, like, intimidating figure. And then by the second
one, he's just a whining rat. Yeah,
by the second one, he's like, he's Poe defeats him like super easily, and it's like, it makes no sense, right?
That's
like,
really a drop in a lot of spoilers. I haven't seen these movies yet.
Well, don't bother. We're saving you the time.
No, we're actually going to watch all 9 Star Wars movies at the same time.
Right
on. Have you 9 seen that YouTube? TVs. No, I haven't. No.
Okay, go on YouTube, anyone listening. They have that exactly. All the movies playing at the exact same time on one screen.
Oh,
it's like divided
so
into
good.
9 boxes.
So
it's actually
good.
Pretty crazy, though. If you put the second one, the third one, and the 9th one in reverse, they all line up and it all plays backwards and they meet into this giant, beautiful masterpiece.
And it's Anakin riding off into the sunset on a sandy planet.
It's
and
crazy.
He's finally come to grips
but like
with
all
sand.
Of them show that
he's forgiven
sand. Yeah, no, it's crazy. Yeah, so definitely watch that. The third, the fifth, and the ninth
but
in
I,
reverse.
Like that whole bad story writing, like, you're going to find that no matter where you go. That's in Star Wars and 40K.
Yeah, so that's exactly where I was going to jump on with this. The big thing right now is the Horus Heresy. Now, for me anyways,
comes to a finish
and it's crapping the bed hard at the end, at the finish line. I believe, I know you're reading them, but like,
no,
any
no,
of the new
I'm
stuff
not,
that's coming out,
I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
Yeah. And you know, some things are just better left alone,
but I'm not disagreeing with you. I think we have different reasons why we don't like it.
That could be true.
So, I am less, I'm sorry. I'm more willing to accept, differences in story than you and Mark are. I'm more willing to accept like
a change,
shittier excuses, right? Because you guys are a much more sturdy and confident in like what you believe is like the right way to do. It's true, but
that's
but,
a very nice way of putting hard-headed and stubborn.
But the writing itself is what troubles me the most.
And how
like
it's actually
the prose?
Yes,
or,
like how it's actually written and communicated to me. Like, many ideas can be very good. It's just, how is it communicated to me? I am so frustrated with the Lost in the Damn book. Yeah. It was what a terrible, terribly written book.
Hmm. And that's also because you do spend a lot of time reading and you're like a bit of a literary.
Yeah. I enjoy the reading aspect of it. And I want to know, like, I'm not reading things just to learn and pick snippets out. I want to understand the story from the perspective. And you went from something like Solar War, which I very much enjoyed.
Yeah.
Solar War. And then to go right into the next book written by a different author, and to like
see such drop in quality.
Like what happened in this book? Like, and it's, I don't even know if it's the author's fault or if it is actually Games Workshop fault saying, all right, this is what you're writing about. This is what your story needs to start and end
and
with.
And he's trying to like work around what
absolutely
he's forced to do.
Because that's what it more feels like. It feels like he's trying to fill like a quota pages and Games Workshop gave him like the worst job out of everything.
Right.
And so I'm hoping it doesn't continue that way as I read these books. Because I know
it
in the end.
It has to, though. Like, so it's a 7-series book. How can you talk about that one battle for seven fucking
crazy.
Books? It should have been 3 books tops.
I don't know if I told you, Christian. But
it's one battle.
It's
for
the, yeah, in
the
one battle.
The Battle of Terror, yeah.
The Siege of Terra. So in the first book, in the solar system, there's no chaos presence at the start of the book. There's no like armada. There's no fleet in the solar system.
Yeah.
And by the end of the first book, Luna has been taken by chaos forces, and the entire chaos fleet is surrounding Terra.
Yeah.
That's from book one beginning to book one end. Right. In book two, they start bombarding the Imperial Palace. And by the end of it, they are bombarding the Imperial Palace.
Yeah.
And very, very little actually happens in that book. And it's a decent sized book.
Yeah.
Like, I was so frustrated while reading it after going from the Solar War, which I thought was very well executed, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very not looking forward to reading the rest of. I am and I'm not.
Yeah.
But that, I think that's a different thing because I'm more than willing to accept
the changes that they're making.
Yeah, and the solidifying of the lore itself. Yeah,
I'm not liking.
Exactly. But I'm just really struggling with how they're communicating it to us. It should have been way less books.
Yeah.
Based on the judgment, I've read 2 of them already, right? Which isn't a lot, so.
I think a good way to like kind of visualize what we're talking about is like a painted miniature. So it could be well executed. The painting could be like top tier, super realistic and whatever else.
Perfectly shaded.
But you painted your Grey Knight like an Ultramarine.
Yeah.
Right. So my problem is you painted your Grey Knight like an Ultramarine, whereas in your case, you're like, you know, Solar War is a really well painted figure.
I mean, I have a big connection to Grey Knights.
No, I know. That's probably a bad example for you personally.
Yes.
But you're like, I can appreciate the painting.
Absolutely.
Versus it being lorically wrong. But then it's someone does a crappy paint job and you're like, that's just a crappy paint job.
Yes. Yeah. You can objectively remove the model from the setting itself and appreciate the job for what it is. And then once you pack in all the knowledge of 40K around that model, then you're like, well, it might be a great paint job, but it's actually very wrong.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think like, what level are you looking at it? What lens are you scrutinizing this introduction of new lore or this introduction of Disney? Like, what lens are you looking at it through? Are you looking at it from a first-time consumer? Are you looking at it from someone who just enjoys movies? Someone who's actually a hardcore fan?
Yeah,
and all of you will have different perspectives.
You can criticize the movies just as movies.
Absolutely, they're just bad movies.
Right, exactly. You could just Star
Wars.
Yeah, even as a big Star Wars fan, I'm like, they're just bad movies.
And I agree with you. I think we're very similar actually when it comes to the movies of the new movies of Star Wars itself and just our terms of where we think they rank. I just think you have stronger feelings about it than I do.
Right. And that, a lot of that comes from the lore and the history.
Yeah. You're more connected to Star
Wars. The more EU and everything else that they've overwritten. But and then on the flip side, like, it's not necessarily a one-to-one comparison because I can also appreciate someone else buying an IP. They're doing something different with it. You can do that, right?
Yeah.
And you can even improve upon it. No one's saying that the Star Wars IP is perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And you could come up with something better. Like,
there's a lot of crap in Legends as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that was right from the get-go. Disney said they wanted to improve. They wanted to have a very strong, cohesive narrative across all mediums, which is fair. Like, if that was your angle, then they screwed it up so hard.
They couldn't even do that in 3 movies.
They couldn't even do that in 3 movies, let alone their books contradicting each other and having to be rewritten. It's just, it's a crazy mess. But GW has always been 40K, right? GW is, you know, be it Rogue Trader, be it First Edition, be it the new Horus Heresy books.
Yeah.
Like, it's all coming from the same author, essentially the same overarching
the same parent
mind. Yes, exactly. So in that regard, like, it's not like GW sold the IP to Warhammer and now I am not that Warhammer is selling its IP either.
I would,
there's no buyers.
Somebody can buy it.
That's the problem.
Shit.
$7 million that's our current valuation of the company.
Yeah,
from Eric.
That's right. Yeah. I am not a pro accountant.
Ballpark it.
Ballpark.
Okay. So one other thing. Going back to the who's a good comparison for a Jedi in the 40K? Would it be like a Psyker? Would that be a closer comparison?
Yeah.
Rather than a
if you need them to both wield magic, yes.
Yes. They're both your magic wielders.
Yeah, yeah.
Psykers
yeah.
are more they have combat like, Psykers, but they also have non combat Psykers.
What about
too.
An Eldar?
Like Psykers are sort of sorcerers, and the rest of like in Star Wars, the population that isn't connected to the Jedi Order, they just understand the Jedi as sorcerers. Like
yeah. wizards.
Yeah, yeah they
wizards.
Don't need to know anything yeah. about the Force, it's just magic. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And they don't know about their philosophy or anything beyond sure. the yeah, fact yeah. that these mystical warriors come in and they have strange powers.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Exactly. That's the outside perspective of yeah. Jedi.
So I don't know. I was trying to wonder if there's a better comparison.
So the other thing too is you can include Xenos, something that's often
yeah, yeah.
horribly overlooked in Warhammer is all the Xenos factions. Sure.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, what are Xenos in 40K?
What is a Xenos?
Yeah. Something that GW likes to ignore.
Yeah.
So yeah, you just mentioned Eldar.
Yeah, Eldar Psykers. So you described how Jedi are particularly athletic and graceful yeah. and they seem to have an ability beyond regular yeah. humans.
And all Eldar have a connection to the war.
Yes, right. exactly.
Enough that they can
like if,
wield
if,
it.
If you said that the Jedi was a standalone grouping of people as its own and all of them have a connection to it, it's very similar to how all the Eldar have a connection
yeah,
to
whereas
the war. A natural connection.
Yeah, whereas
too.
With humans, it's like you have one-offs and a bigger population.
Yes, it's
yeah.
more outliers.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a fair comparison. And even Eldar, you know, they use a psychic ability for art. They use it for war. They
it
use
pervades
it for
their
whole
life.
Culture and
yes,
society.
And their philosophies even. Very similar yeah. to, I think, to how Jedi view.
Yeah.
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 I agree.
So that might be a better comparison, a Banshee versus a Jedi Knight or something like that.
Banshee.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, again.
Yeah.
But maybe. But magic, you know?
Yeah.
Like, can you strangle a Banshee before it even gets close to you, right?
Absolutely.
Can the Banshee
yeah.
shrieking mask blow a Jedi away before he even has a chance to strike?
Yeah, right? Is like, the Force able to protect him from something like that?
Yeah, so. From sonic weapons and things like that. So, yeah, there's a lot
it's
of
tough.
A lot of variables, absolutely.
Yeah.
There are also lots of parallels while I was researching Star Wars. They have a phase where the Republic got taken over by essentially a space pope. And went Ooh. On a religious crusade to exterminate alien species. And
I
they're
think that's
very
just
human
a good
centric.
Time in any setting, though.
Is not for the
all,
Xenos.
All settings ultimately end up with humans purging Xenos.
Yeah, it's
fundamentally. Yeah, but yeah, there's like a whole series. They had like space crusades and everything. And I don't know if that came out before 40K or if it was even influenced by 40K or they just saw real life crusades and like, oh, let's make
they
that
kinda did
sci-fi.
The same. They that's started from the same premise.
Thing. It's possible. Yeah, yeah.
It's but, not the first. Fantastical sci fantasy series yeah. to draw heavily on
history.
A religious
religion and xenocide.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty.
Yeah, and you even the terminology they use constantly: crusade, space popes. Like the names follow very popish names from yeah. history and things like that.
Yeah, where 40K, it's definitely different. Like when you have like one of those, oh, Ultramarines maybe are based off Romans. That's way more likely of a thing because that's how the game was. Like,
yeah, they literally originally. Let's throw Romans in space.
Yeah, exactly. Where Star Wars, yeah, I think it just is
maybe coincidental.
Yeah. yeah,
but Star Wars draws a lot on history too, more or less.
Yeah,
so it obscures it a lot yeah. more. It has
that's
a,
the thing.
A heavier
it obscures
coat of paint.
It. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I feel like the influence, like the original influences of Star Wars, were more like Japanese culture and spaghetti westerns, kind of getting combined almost.
Yeah, there's definitely like thematic.
Whereas like
the
yeah, but that's what I mean though. Like the thematic inspiration for yeah. 40K is much more. Like Romans basically, you know, or Crusaders. You don't think
like
so?
The Empire, the Roman Empire itself?
Yeah.
Like the Imperium itself
yeah, the Imperium.
Is modeled after yeah. the Roman Empire.
And yeah. like an Imperium, like you don't think thematically that that's what inspired it?
Really?
I don't know. I agree with your assessment, but like if you were going to sum up 40K, would you use Rome? As your example.
No.
Like, if you could describe 40K in, like, one sentence, I would say more, like,
but
Gothic, grim,
I think it's, like,
as, like my
it's
words.
Like,
to
like, medieval,
yeah.
Gothic.
So, and one thing with 40K, too, is 40K itself is more, like, post-Rome. It's more, like, the dark,
the dying,
sure, yeah, yeah,
the right, exactly. Empire. They have a not glorious
new,
past,
but there's yeah, like not the new bright note,
yeah, exactly.
But there's like imperial legions, right? Like,
but that again, that's 30k. That's my point.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
fair
the
enough,
30k yeah. stuff is like the bright past. Even then, you can go farther back to like the dark before the dark yeah. age of technology. Is like even the brighter yeah. past, the enlightened, yeah, but I'm ancient saying, Greek time,
the sort of like spiritual inspiration for thematically. What it is just seems
yeah absolutely and even like the iconography
even
like,
though it's like
the eagle is yeah. very much the
they
Roman
split off
the whole standards and bear like yeah, that yeah. they wield yeah. and it's the such aesthetic. An honor yeah the yeah. aesthetic is but yeah it's an interesting thing is it based off of what Rome actually was or was it based off what we wanted Rome to be
you guys always keep forgetting one thing Rome is eternal.
Well, Rome.
I agree.
Yeah. but also all like a lot of like the Latin words you kind of hear in yes. 40K, right?
Yeah.
Like,
but they're all a lot of them are actually wrong as well.
They're not.
I heard recently
it's pseudo Latin.
It's pseudo Latin. Yeah, yeah, is yeah. this what we thought Latin was? Right.
It could be a like, caricature. Of,
exactly.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of that I think is a limitation. They don't literally want to use Latin. I saw a comparison to
yeah, yeah.
the language of 40K. They have High Gothic and Low Gothic, but it's not literally like Low Gothic is often comes off to us as English because we're English speakers, right? It's not actually English in space. You don't think that like Space Marines are actually speaking English to each other. The same way that High Gothic isn't actually Latin.
You don't think on Terra they still speak English? Because that's Low Oof. Gothic versus High Gothic, right?
Right, but it is but, Gothic
so
English.
Let's change the perspective, though. Like, if we're Russian and we're reading Russian codexes.
Right, exactly. Low Gothic would be Russian to you.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's not meant to be any one of those. In universe, it's probably its so, own like, language.
So, exactly.
10, the Luna Wolves. The Luna Wolves are from Chthonia, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
The, so they speak Chthonic. So yeah. is Chthonic Low Gothic?
No.
So that's a whole other different language.
Low Gothic is probably its own combined
like,
mix of...
Just pretend humanity exists for another 10K years. What languages die out? What languages evolve? What languages...
Some languages will join and form a new language.
Oh, so you,
right.
you
that
think
languages.
That... Okay, so the Low Gothic is just a marriage and a mixture of... all the cultures on Earth until eventually they
whatever
speak
language.
One language.
Yeah, yes, yeah. or okay. that one language is forced on.
I yeah. see, I yeah. see, yeah, yeah. I see.
And then by that same token, because High Gothic is Latin-esque to us, because that's the best association we can make with it, because we have that historical connection of like, okay, that's like Latin to English. It's not actually Latin-esque, right?
Sure.
Not literally. It's whatever the higher version of that way of speaking.
Interesting.
Is.
So Low Gothic actually has a little bit of Latin roots in and of itself.
That's not at all what I'm saying.
I thought that's what you're saying, no. is that the High Gothic is just the better version of that. I don't understand what you're saying, man.
No.
What's the connection between Low and High Gothic if they're not related
they're
at all?
They're derivative of each other, but they're not derivative of English or Latin in real terms. They just look like that to us because we're reading into it because of our...
So what came first, Low Gothic or High Gothic?
Who knows? Probably High Gothic. And
well, so
Gothic
then
is,
the Low Gothic is no, the derivative of High Gothic.
Sure,
they probably have like a common ancestry, right?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Do they come from the same place or did one come from the other?
So in real life, the parallels are that like English is a...
That is how like language develops as common
right,
ancestry.
But, so the Latin would have come first and then English is like a super... It's not even derived from Latin technically. It's... You know,
it's like a mix of alphabet.
Yeah, it's yeah. a mix of
it's really more
Germanic
and other
yeah, yeah.
other elements. But our I forget what the word is, but the structure of English follows more German
yeah, yeah.
Origins. But that
it is
that a, comes from
English is Germanic.
Yeah,
I think,
and that's yeah. that comes from the whole like the Holy Roman Empire was actually centered in Germany, and that was an extension from Rome, right?
Right. Yeah.
So that
yeah.
same kind of thought process of like, okay, so Latin. Is like the root word. Latin used to be the common spoken tongue in Rome,
yeah.
but it was elevated to this point. So like in the Dark Ages, only priests and learned men learned Latin. Everyone else spoke the common tongue of whatever region they were from, France or Germany or whatever, right? The same way High Gothic would have come first as like now the learned language, and then Low Gothic is the common tongue. So again, it's not that necessarily Latin-English
oh,
comparison.
I see. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be connected at all. It just means
oh
that.
My gosh. No.
Do they have to be connected?
Yes, because one is a derivative of the other.
But you're saying that Latin and English don't necessarily... Whatever language...
That's only because
the lesser
we happen
people,
to speak English.
But you're saying whatever language the lesser people were speaking, like it didn't have to be connected to Latin. Like there are Orthodox priests in Russia who would speak Latin. Does that mean the lay people's language is connected to Latin?
No, but that's again that's more circumstantial. And that's the, kind of the problem with
or
that.
We're saying
English
Germanic,
is a bad
we're,
example.
We're saying that we're using Germanic languages. That's not related to Latin languages.
No, but it comes from the history of
I don't understand okay. your connection at all.
Okay.
I guess.
Just think of it this way. High Gothic came first. And then it devolved into common speech, okay. Which is the Logothic.
Which is different than...
So that is the connection.
Which is different than the history that you just described.
No.
With Latin to English.
It would make more sense if we were Spanish or Italian speakers. Because you would have the common tongue derivative of... It just happens that English happens to be more Germanic. But then you make that connection. It's like, well, why do we speak a Germanic-based language? Sure. Because they were the predator...
Well, we have like a lot of Latin words that are rooted in Latin.
Yeah. English is such a bad language to use as an example of anything. Because it is such a corrupted mishmash of like...
I think it's beautiful.
It's horrible.
It has a very colored history.
It's a hybrid.
It's grating on the ears.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But...
I've never really considered what I thought like the history of High Gothic versus Low Gothic was.
There's a huge like Reddit article of like actual linguists that were like,
so Low Gothic,
at least they
is,
said they were. You never know what Reddit, but
so Low Gothic is definitely its own language. It's a very specific language, and
yes,
High Gothic,
but it's not English.
Right,
is my important thing. We just read it.
We read it as English. Well, because there would be a history of English
could
in there.
Have died out. English could
you know
have died
what? It very
years
well could
before.
Have. It very
might
well
have
could
no
have.
Association with English whatsoever.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
My point is, it's not English, and it's not Latin in space. Well, it is Latin in space, but it's not. It's the way we read it because of our own history.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. That's fundamentally what I was getting at with that whole tangent. But
yeah.
Yeah.
That took longer than I would have thought for me to latch on to.
But we all feel more educated, healthier.
We're all linguists now.
We're all linguists. Yeah.
Where's James? He needs to be on this episode.
James, we bestow you your language degree on the air.
Given by the Lorehammer LU, we call it. Lorehammer University.
Please fund us as
an alumnus.
Learning institution. Yeah.
We are here for your donation.
Yeah. You could probably apply to the government as like to get funded as a... as an institution.
Perfect. That's all I want.
Huh. Cool.
What were we talking about?
Anything else we need to talk about?
I don't remember what...
Well, I'm checking our notes. Oh, there are no notes.
Mark was really adamant that I write notes, but I wanted it to be a free flowing.
Well, you have the paper in front of you, so that's
that was
important.
To take notes because I honestly, so going into this, I pictured this being a fight between us of like, no, 40K is better. No, Star Wars is better. And
well, 40K is better. I don't.
And you'd pull out examples though of like, you know, well, there's X number of Imperial Guards.
Well, Christopher Plummer.
Is very clearly
not the strongest Jedi. I mean, Yoda beats him pretty easily. So, and even, you know, Gandalf beats him. So he's not that great.
Is this going to be a three-tiered thing? Are we bringing real magic into this now?
Wow. Yeah.
Cool. Well, hope everyone enjoyed that last episode of Lorehammer Lockdown. I know I did.
Did you?
I did. I learned so much. I also was taking notes and not...
I sincerely doubt that. What's on his computer, Christian?
The home screen. He's been staring at the logo.
Just typing.
Interesting. Yes.
Yeah, important big
things. I definitely gained a new perspective on just even the language of 40K. Yeah. I guess I had always assumed that Low Gothic was a form of English.
Yeah.
I had never considered
it's
the fact
that... It's only because you read it that way.
Absolutely, yeah, like, yeah. I'd never considered the fact that it might not be English at all.
Yeah. And it
probably wouldn't. Like, there's no language that's been static for 40,000 years.
No, right? Language is super mutable.
Yeah.
And actually, interestingly, too, it gets weirder.
We're back in it.
We're back.
Yeah. I love it.
So, I was, same thing on Reddit. I proposed this one is, have you ever thought about the way we interpret orc speech? Because orc speech is corrupted English.
So, have you ever listened to the orc audiobook? Red Sun Rising, I think it's called.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so in that audiobook, they actually speak Orcish in that book.
Like in the Orcish language as to what we would hear?
In the Orcish language. It's very cool. So they will speak the Orcish language as like, and it's just made up gibberish,
it's like black
right?
speech.
But then so they do one line of that and then they read it in...
what humanity translate Orc speech as? Like the crumping.
No. So then it would translate it. Yeah, into crumping. Then it would translate it into how an orc would talk to a human. But orcs have their own language. So
orcs speak two languages? Is that what you're getting at?
They speak- not all orcs, but yes, like orcs
have,
their,
a native tongue.
They have their own languages. They could have thousands, millions. They could sure. have infinite. Probably they only have one though, just because of the way everything is
single-minded in
and built
culture.
Into their genetics or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, then when humans try to speak, or sorry, when orcs try to speak low Gothic, it comes out as that, like, let's go crumpin'. Yeah. But
that's not orc speech.
Yeah.
Correct. That's not, yeah.
Yeah.
They're so speaking why, low Gothic. Okay, so why is that how they view English, or the, sorry, not English, but low Gothic?
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the language
because
they're
communicating.
They
have a hard time translating from whatever their speech
sure,
is.
Sure. But it's interesting.
I wish
like,
I had a clip of that.
Like, why is crumpin' a translation for them?
That might right? just be like
yeah.
their original word, though.
Yeah, like, absolutely. No, interesting.
They just didn't have a word
well,
for
that
it.
Makes sense, though. Like, so, like, Jamaicans, if you go to Jamaica...
Pidgin.
Yeah, they speak a form of English called Pidgin English, and it's like... It's hard to even distinguish it from, like... or to,
it sounds like its own language.
Yeah, it almost sounds like its own
You'll
language.
You'll pick out a word here.
But you will, yeah, you will pick up other words, that they speak and then they'll like code switch, so they'll go from like speaking pidgin into like speaking UK English and like when they're talking to white people, but when they're talking to each other, like you almost
it's very, become its own language.
Yeah, it's very yeah. different.
Same with Creole too.
Yeah.
And beyond that, where it gets more complicated too is, so okay, you read orc and you read English. What happens if you're a Russian speaker? What is orc speech? Do they write it as English? Is crumpin still crumpin in Russian, and does it have the same association? Or do they write like a corrupted form of Russian?
But that's a now problem. That's an outside universe problem.
Yeah, that's in real life, right?
Yeah. Interesting.
But it adds another layer of like, okay, what does
How do you effectively communicate the feeling of what orcs are to some using, because they use a made up language, and how do you communicate that to someone who speaks something other than how you write?
Exactly.
Interesting.
And it gets even more weird because like, you know, they're very much based off of a subculture of England, you know, soccer hooligans, right? And they speak like a what's the word I'm looking for? What's that like when you watch like Industrial Revolution England type movies when people are like speaking that really crappy form of English that it shows like their social status?
Is that Cockney? No.
Yeah. Cockney, right? Like they speak like a Cockney, like very. It's you can tell
East London.
Sure. I don't know the geography of London. Ooh, there's going to be some British guy listening. He's like, what are they talking about? But Cockney. Yeah, it's got that like Cockney.
It's like slang.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And that's kind of like because of that, again, that association, same thing with Latin and High Gothic that we have in English. It's like, okay, I get kind of what you're trying to portray. But what happens if you're an Italian speaker? What does that sound like if you're trying to convey that idea?
They probably each have their own vocal like sort of. The way the poors talk.
Yeah. And I don't know, like if you're a Lorehammer listener who's from a different country, region.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you consume and like do you get the same?
Yeah. Like what does orc speech sound like to you?
Yeah. And when we talk about orcs, like, and when you consumed it on your own, did we come up to the same conclusion of this is what it means to be orc and to communicate as orc? Like,
yeah.
How was it communicated to you? And then how did you interpret it? Interesting.
An Eldar language. I got nothing.
There's nothing there. It's just derivative Elvish. Corrupted lower form.
Space Elvish.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or is it elevated to space?
To space. It's a higher form.
Yeah. Anything else then we want to get into?
You want to do 1v1 matches?
When are you guys recording your podcast? I thought you guys had somebody recording.
What?
I thought you guys were recording today or something.
Yeah, we are.
What time?
3?
Pretty soon.
Yeah, like exactly. 5 minutes
so
here.
We should
wrap this boy up.
We can wrap it up, yeah.
Yeah. Or let's just lead right into our podcast. Right? I got the script right here. With okay. These guys just...
I do want an invite on your podcast one day.
You know, our guys will reach out to you guys.
Okay, we'll make it happen.
It's in the mail. The invite's in the
mail.
Yeah.
Okay. Hurt feelings. We leave it on hurt feelings.
Well, thank you for
hurting my feelings.
Joining us on this last episode of the Lorehammer Lockdown. It was a fun episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to talk crossovers, even though we both know it's an impossibility, right?
Well, I mean, right? Star Wars. The multiverse can support all things.
I've been told by people that nothing is real except for Space Marines. Space Marines are the only thing that's real.
Guardsmen aren't real. Space Marines are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. But no, and you know what? Thank you to all the listeners for joining us on this.
No, for putting up with.
Yeah, that's what I was going to allude to. But yeah, for consuming this Lorehammer Lockdown, for taking the time out of your busy schedule.
For humoring us.
Yeah.
In what we're doing.
Yeah. Thanks.
Really, you guys are not locked. What is it? You're not locked in here with me. We're locked in here with you.
Yeah.
Enjoy the quarantine, bitch.
But yeah. If we haven't said it enough, reach out to us on our Discord. It's pretty active community right now. We are running a painting contest specifically for our Patreon members.
Yeah, if you want to join, do two things. Become a patron. Hop on our Discord. The rules are all there. It's very simple.
Yeah, it's very simple.
There's some
simple.
Big prize money. I've been talking to the guy who is funding
it. He fronted it, yeah.
And he's throwing in more cash. So it's crazy.
Like a madman.
Yeah. So
mad lad.
There's going to be a lot of cash being thrown around. So if you want some easy money, just
give us money.
Give us $1.
No one's saying it's actually easy money. We should redact that.
Are you a good painter?
Yeah, that's the how easy. Anyways, yeah. Thank you for listening. This is the last Lorehammer Lockdown episode.
Yeah. Now we're going to go back to our regular release schedule of every bi-weekly. We do a main episode with a bonus episode
potentially filling in there. Yeah, yeah. Thank you to Christian and Jordan from the Star Lords podcast and one of the original members of Lorehammer.
For coming down.
Oh, gee. Yeah, it's nice
thanks
to have
for letting
you on.
Me out of the basement.
Well, back down there with you. And here's your chain and collar.
You got this episode to edit.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
But
give our in a Wuhan sweatshop.
Eric.
I love making Eric do that face.
We're going to have to edit that out. Our Chinese listeners are not going to enjoy that.
Well, I don't think this is actually allowed in China.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
They won't even be hearing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure we've already been flagged by the Chinese government.
Oh, years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Right from episode one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, just come over and give our podcast a listen to you too if you're
leave
bored.
Them some constructive criticism.
Only constructive criticism.
Actually, just no criticism.
No. If you have criticism, send it to a James Complaints. Yeah. Yeah.
Your Star Wars podcast was shitty.
Oh my god. Please start using that in your podcast. Yeah. JamesComplaints@gmail.com.
For sure.
Cool. Well, I think we should end it because we've been trying to end it for how many minutes now? So
hold on. Have you ever considered
land in this plane.
Droidicas versus Men of Iron.
We'll let the listeners think that one out.
Yeah, that's a tough one, I think. Anyways, signing off. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Peace.